Hey, Josh.
Hey, Nate. How are you doing this week?
I'm doing pretty great. It's a Monday, which is kind of different for us for recording. So it feels kind of like, you know, it's not the exciting getting ready for the weekend time when we normally record. But life is good.
Does that give you good motivation to like, helps close out the week? It's a sense of like closure at the end before the weekend kicks off.
And it's like an enjoyable, like fun, like, hey, you made it through the week, you know, now you get to have this nice thing.
Here's some dessert. Here's some chat.
Yeah. Well, this is probably good too. You know, it's like get into the grind, get going, figure out what we're doing, all that sort of thing. How are things with you?
They're good. I don't know. It's, I think you started to ask when we first got on and I was like, let's just hit record. I just always feel like, end up, I don't know, had this happen other times, especially with people you know, and you just start talking in the beginning and you're like, oh, that would have been good for the podcast. So it's almost better to just like
hit
record.
Everyone gets especially the raw, it's been unedited
for us.
Yeah. Well, I see you've got a new hairstyle, so that's new.
Not really, but yes. I put some junk in it the other day, and then we had family pictures like a week ago. Mm. So then it gets me in the ramp up of like, okay, when your haircutting cycles are. And since I cut my own hair, and then I was like, all right, I left it kind of in between so I could, you know, style it for the pictures. So it's sort of been in this state of like, okay, actually it's at the right length to kind of monkey with it.
Cool. That's good.
But yeah, otherwise things are, I don't know, good. I'd say it's pretty good. Better than I have been in the past couple months, not for any major things other than just like dug out of my hole for the most part.
Yep.
Today feeling a bit behind because of the turn of the month plus like some other things I wanted to get ahead of on the weekend in terms of like oftentimes because no one's in the quote unquote office, that's like I almost spend more time doing my own deep work and strategy on the weekends, like because it's sort of
quiet.
Yeah, and you can kind of run unchecked and you don't have anyone relying on you for like getting back to stuff. So it's my dog walking notes are often very have a lot of good meat to it when I do dog walks over the weekend because of that too.
Yeah. Well, it's amazing what a little bit of stress changes in your life though. Eh? Like you feel like you've got to get back to people. You feel like you've got this long list of things to get through and it kind of weighs on you. Like I feel that too. It's like, and to not have that as much or have like a temporary break from it, like I think you're right. It just gets your creative juices going better and it's a great feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I get a lot of that during the day. Like if you looked at my calendar, I've got it to a point where unless I'm really hands-on on something major, which I can be, but most of the time I'm not the core, like I see on the thing. Even on a daily basis, I'm doing those things, those strategic things, but they're more, I would say, tightly bound to what other people are working on. So I do need to get back to them, but it's not, I'm usually not on the hook. Like also it could delay because of me, but then the weekend is the one I get to like do really big long-term thinking. So it's sort of like, yeah. And I think that's where I'm at my best. And I feel because I'm mostly doing proactive work, right? It's like the reactive stuff is what, I don't know, like can drain your time, or you see the calendar filled up and you're basically just like going into meetings and just, grinding through, so to speak. Yeah.
I noticed that on myself too. It's like when I've got like a more of an open calendar and like people aren't, you know, really coming at me every day for things. Yeah. I'm a lot happier. I get a lot more deeper thoughts in. Yeah. My wife comments on it. She's like, oh, you've got a lot going on right now, don't you? Yeah. I guess I do. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. So what's going on with you?
Yeah. So I've been working on the LinkedIn stuff, trying to get people talking about manufacturing and customer service and manufacturing. And last time we talked, I just looked back in the episodes. We were kind of I was at a point where I was like kind of having a rough time getting in touch with people or kind of knowing what the next stage was to really get people kind of more qualified, get better feedback, hammering that out a bit more. And like it's gone really well. I had a few moments of despair there where I was like, how do I get people to talk to me? But just really refined the outreach process, just refined my messaging, the stages that I was messaging at people, and got a working demo up.
Nice.
So got that working demo up and just try to get feedback on that. So that working demo is super hack. You know, as a developer, I'm like, I don't know about this, but it's clickable. You know, you can kind of work through it a bit, see how it works.
Right. And then you said you've kind of baked that into your like outreach now, right? Like, so even earlier on as you're, and again, just to frame this for people, you're reaching out to people on LinkedIn, right? Like mm-hmm. you've got sort of this, I will say, flywheel-ish going in LinkedIn in terms of finding the right people in the right industries and, you know, maybe doing a little bit of commenting and some other things and connecting and to basically just like try to get in their sphere
mm-hmm.
and open it up for a conversation, right? So yeah, and now you've layered in some new things because you've been basically going further, because I remember in past ones you have had a few good calls. I think if I recall correctly on our last meeting, you were finding some success. So you were optimistic about that. So I don't think you were in a total state of despair over it. I think you're like, okay, I think I've found something repeatable. Like it wasn't, you were like, maybe I've done 10 people like this, but I feel like I'm at the core, but it sounds like you've further improved that and also have gathered, you know, more feedback to the part of where you're doing it. Product prototype demo type of thing.
Yeah. So maybe I'm actually missing a step there. So what happened was I first had those initial 10 people and that I got that flywheel going and that went quite well. Actually, I could I knew what I would do if I did, if I did the same thing repeatable, I could guarantee I would get, you know, 2 to 3 per week.
Yes. That's, I think, what we were last
and,
at.
And that was great. But then following that, I made up this demo. So I just really hacked together some, just a front end, no data, just, you know, I tried to use all the AI tools to like, just.
Oh yeah. Cause I think AI I was coding. Encouraging you then to use those and you're like, sus, but okay, I'll give it a shot.
So I gave it a good effort. I did 2 full days of just like trying to AI program it all. It was horrible. I hated it.
Okay.
But, I did get a demo together. So I was like, hey, well, next step, right? I've talked to people about the problems. People have told me all about their problems. I have a kind of list of 5 common problems and people keep saying it. So like, obviously there's something to these problems. And then I put those, some sort of a solution together in this demo. And I was like, okay, well, I'll test, you know, does the demo solve the pains, right? And so I went to people with, here's the list of pains I'm hearing from people in your industry. And here's the demo I made. What do you think? And like, it was crickets, man. Nobody would go into it. Nobody would click on it. Oh man, I was like, what have I done? You know, this is just no good. And that was the pit of despair that I was talking about.
I get you. That makes sense. Cause it's like, you thought you had, so you saw you resonated, you had some pain points. And then it's like, so naturally if, you know, just from a natural curiosity standpoint, like it's not asking them to commit to anything, but click through and look. And they
like literally just click on the link and just look at it for like 10 seconds and tell me what you think.
So what did you read wrong? Yeah. I'd love to hear what,
so what happened? Yeah. So I was like, eventually I had gone through enough people. I'm always wary to not like make sure I have enough data, right? Like it's like, yeah, I tested it on 20 people, but like nobody clicked it. It's like, okay, well, like you got to go test on like 100 or something. Be sure about this. Make sure it's not just, you know, a little anomaly in the data. And so I did that. And I was like, okay, well, like what's the next easiest thing? How can I make this easier for people? Because one of the things I got back was sometimes people are mobile. And so they can't click on it. It's a desktop site that I made the demo. I'm very desktop orientated because that's where the people work, right? And there's no point in making a mobile demo for this. And so I said, okay, well, like all people are mobile. Well, why don't I just make a video? And I was like long shot, who knows, whatever, just try it. So I went and made a walkthrough video of me talking, just clicking. And it was because I had one person that was actually like responding to my messages when I was talking about like a demo. And I was like, yeah, I got to test it on this person because they seem like pretty keen. They'll at least tell me if they don't like whatever I do. And so I whipped together maybe 20 minutes, just like hacked it together, threw it up on YouTube, put a little cover image on it just to make it a little bit of pizzazz, and sent that. And it works, man. Like I'd say I get like, it's got to be close to 75% of people that I send the video to. So I've asked their permission already, you know, can I send you this? That those 75% of people will get back to me with a like reasonable response based on the demo.
Let me track back. Initial 10 people, let's say you found the pain points, you made a clickable demo, which then you sent back to those people. And also maybe you used it in a way for like new people you were talking to. Instead of getting interviews, you were just like saying, hey, based off pain points, talking to people in your industry, I made this thing, like,
yep.
Check it out.
Yeah, you got it exactly.
Like clickable demo type of thing. And you heard crickets. So then you went back and just said, well, you know what, let me just make a video. Maybe a video is even a lower lift than clicking through. So you didn't change anything about the demo. You just whipped it together, talked it through, and also had this mentality that, like, I'm not just going to let 20 no clicks like deem this a failure at this point. And at least let me try something else. Let me try maybe a video might be easier, whatever. You're just like, let me rapidly 20 minutes package this together, yeah, throw it up there and bake that into the loop, replace that with the clickable part of the other
one. Yeah. And 'cause really my thought there was like, I've made this demo and people aren't even looking at it. Like, it'd be one thing if they looked at it and they're like, this is crap, you know, whatever. But it's like, they're not even giving it a chance. And I need to have them look at something to sell to anybody.
Right.
Right. Like, you can tell them about their problems, whatever, but they need to actually move down the line a bit. And so I figured that seemed like an easier lift to do. And also just the fact that, like, people that were willing to get on a 15-minute video call with me were not willing to click on this link. That was like, yeah, that just didn't seem like seemed like something was wrong.
That seems strange. I'd love to see the email or whatever that message looked like too, because that just doesn't
well
connect to me.
My hypothesis is that the link, I ready preface it with, this is a desktop only site, because I caught the feedback that people didn't want to do it on mobile. And from noticing on people's statuses, a lot of times people are responding on mobile. And then, so they'd have to remember the next time they're at their computer to come back. So that's already a huge hurdle. And then when you click on the link, LinkedIn does this like, are you sure you want to leave LinkedIn? You should not click on random links and la, da, 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 da. And it's like, okay, like that's enough to scare anybody, right? Like, if you don't know the company or whatever, like, I think that that's a bit of a barrier there too.
Well, also quick thing, you mentioned before in this more successful round, you said you also asked them if you could send them something. Did you also do that with the app one as well?
Yep. For new people, I did that. For the previous people, I just said like, hey, I made this demo.
Right.
You know, I'd
based
love
off
it if you
conversations, like it was
like, little... yeah. And there's already a bit of a comfortability there from the people that got on the demo with me or got on the call with me.
Mm-hmm.
That I think that they would be fine to click something.
Okay. Interesting.
But the, another
just,
thing.
Yeah. Just like, what else could it block?
Yeah.
Like, what is the, I don't know if I would have put the desktop thing. 'Cause almost like if they would have clicked on it, and even if it was mobile, it would just have been like, oh yeah, I mean to come back to this, but at least you got them to click. Right. Like
right.
The almost thing is like your test is, can I get them to click, but not trick them into clicking? 'Cause I don't want like, I want a legit click for what I'm doing. And maybe like, the copy on that made them feel, I don't know exactly what it was, but it made it feel like more like, should I wait to, but you basically gave them an excuse to not do it by saying, this is desktop only. And it was almost like, you could let them figure that out later. But once they saw it and they're like, oh, this doesn't feel well, no, I need to come back to this on the desktop. Like, shouldn't have, I felt like that one might've like kind of, it was honest, but at the same time did not serve you well in terms of.
Yeah, that's true.
Testing if I can get someone to click this, right?
Yeah. I do think there is also something to like the video demo, just having someone explain kind of how things work, especially for someone that's trying to go through it fairly quickly, could be helpful. Just I point out the different things that are going on each of the screens. And I think there are things that like a power user or somebody that is really like analyzing a solution would look for, but somebody who is maybe an entry level, a customer support person, or even someone who just doesn't care that much about the process and more cares about their daily job might have different thoughts on. So there's that. And yeah. And also just the YouTube video plays right in the app. And I think that's a huge plus for
in LinkedIn. Like it embeds itself like right in there. So yeah, that's huge. And also it's sometimes there's like, again, that's why I asked about what your word is, because sometimes people might interpret demo as something like, oh, am I going to have to talk to some, like there's all these other things, but you're right. Like if you're like, hey, here's this video and literally it's right there embedded and you can see the splash screen, like you put in, like they know, and they have very strong trust of exactly what they're getting. They know it's not interactive. They know it's not like, I don't have to put my camera on. I don't have to like click anything. I can, like you said, watch it on a phone. I could watch it on wherever, like, and the fact that it's embedded right in there, that was huge.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, it's an 8-minute video and people actually watch it. Like,
right. Because you can watch those like length, the time stuff in the YouTube stats, right?
Like, I would have thought they would have given up after anything over 2 minutes or something like that. But I tried going through it and I was like, I can't really cut anything out of this. Like, I'm not going slow on this. I'm trying to get through it. But like,
you know, it'd be interesting is, I don't know, you could put, now that you have still have the clickable demo link, I would put that in the comments.
So I do.
As the top comment. Oh, did you? Okay.
So I didn't put it in the video comments, but I always send it as the follow-up message.
Okay, if you want to tinker with it yourself, okay.
Yeah, and people actually click through to the link now.
Right.
And it's like, oh, okay, so you just wanted to see that it's not scary. It's not a link to like some like clickbait site or something. Mm-hmm. And like, this is legit. And then like some people commented, they're like, oh, like I saw the video and then like I clicked through it and like the click through thing was great and I did this. Yeah. So I think I've got some pretty good feedbacks already on it. It was really neat. Actually, I had a guy that was really like a real techno enthusiast kind of person. And so he really went deep. And that was kind of neat because it's like, you know, someone in the industry that was, he was actually already looking at building his own solution. You know, that is, right? People often say that. But he gave me like a lot of really good feedback. So it's like, okay, this is really useful, right? Like just how to tweak things better where it's like a super low lift, like just throw a bit of JavaScript at it, push it up.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So kind of the next part I'm trying to figure out is like, I can probably go on this demo thing for another week of just, you know, seeing if I get any more feedback on it, see if I get, because every time someone comments on something, like, you know, if I think it's worthwhile, I'll add something in for it, you know, or tweak something here or there to kind
of. It's all just to the demo too.
It's to the demo. Likely. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, low lift. Great. To try and, you know, get it good. And I think the next thing I got to figure out is, you know, like what's the next iteration of this now? Like I've got I kind of went from problems, people telling me their problems. Now I've got like, here's a sort of like a demo solution. And I wonder if, you know, is it time to go to pre-order or is it time to maybe like go for like a pre-sign up or like something more in the sales direction?
I think so. I mean, potentially, I think, yeah. So how I look at it is you have a, you know, flywheel funnel going on now, right? So there are people coming in, whether it's, I don't know, like at this point, do you have like 5 a week or something or more?
Yeah, more than that. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
And right? It's also so really like, based on how much effort I put into it because it's a manual process.
Right. So, I mean, for you, I guess that's also the thing from an effort standpoint, like what's your time schedule look like, right? Like, so even if you did, you know, you have to almost think of the next steps. Because you know, again, probably like we started talking about at the beginning of this episode, like this is you getting to be proactive versus reactive. But you're also, once you commit yourself, you are baking yourself and certain time in and knowing, you know, what is coming up this summer? What is like, you know, your family dynamic? What is like, how are your other contracts? Like, what risk do you want to put into this bucket? Or how prepared is your wife to be like, you're like, I'm going to commit to this thing or I'm going to start putting this out. And if I get enough bites, like, not going to see me for 2 months. Like, I don't know. But maybe not that extreme, but you know what I mean? Just so like, where would the timing be right? And then also, how much more is there to continue to refine on these other parts? Because if you think about this, you've built this little mini machine now, right? It's like you've got able to reach the people. We're able to engage them. And right now you're like got this nice loop of getting feedback on like the UI and really the impetus of what they're buying. They're buying this end state, right? Experience. Yeah. And getting more, if you keep finding things and maybe it's almost like you could probably find the right pacing. So if it's like, hey, I have free time now and I'm going to keep doing this, or I feel like there's two things. It's like you could either, once you hit the maximum of like, I think I've gotten most of the information I need, checkmark one. Checkmark two, am I ready to actually go do this thing, right? Because if you're pretty confident in those other pieces, it's like, okay, you could dial up the contacting more people. So you can basically have some control over that side of the funnel. And then you have these other two checkmarks, meaning like, okay, what am I replacing with this to put in terms of a like pre-order or whatnot, right? So, and you could test things multiple at a time. Like you can be like, hey, every other person I'm going to send out a pre-order thing, but also remembering that I don't know how long their interest is being held, right? Like,
yeah.
So the ones you're building up, let's say it's 10 a week, you know, there's naturally going to be fall off of interest when they get further and further away from it. So you sort of have like this cohort you're in a certain window of where you can ask these things and you can test the pre-order offer or determine what you want that to be. But I do think there should just be some amount of like, yeah, like even if it was, what is the level of skin in the game or commitment that they can give? But also you'd need to probably sign yourself up to sort of a reasonable expectation for some things, but also say it's a, you know, money back thing, but also you'll get to understand their buying process. Can they put $500 down?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's
that type of thing.
Yeah. And that's what I kind of thought of too. Like, could I maybe break up the final solution a little bit? So, you know, kind of offer people a pre-order for the most popular feature and just work on that first feature, you know, kind of build that up and then kind of work at it that way. But that might work because I do have some time in July and August, but the problem is like, I think that's too soon, right? Like even if I started today,
you don't feel like you could confidently deliver.
Well, I'm not sure I could get the commitment either from people by the end of June to start working on it by July kind of thing.
Okay.
So there is some timing things to figure out there. And I could also do just like if I kick the can farther down the road, you know, late fall or something like that would be kind of a better time for scheduling. But yeah, it's also one of these things. It's like, you got this cohort, right? And it's like, you want to make use of that cohort too.
It's the dream. You're getting the part, at least these two, you know, a lot of challenges in your past has been acquiring customers, right? And I'm glad you're front loading all this. And now you have the go-to-market motion. Now you still have to click over to see if you can get them to buy, but at least you have a flow of that. So who knows how long that refinement's going to take, right? So maybe an intermediate step might be just like, but what other commitment could they give you to give you more signal and more data, right? Like I liked the idea of like, hey, and it could just be, it's kind of almost like a build in public type of thing with this group. And it's almost like you could, maybe it's like a newsletter. I don't know if you, maybe the next step is like you have a survey that gets people into like, I want to get regular updates or something like that. Then at least you can like, you know, send updates to this whole group. I don't know. And also gauge things and ask them other questions. I don't know. Maybe that's too much.
Well, I've been kind of doing that with my cohort, like the people that have engaged best. So basically my cohort, like the way I do it is I'll take the people who have engaged well and just simply give them like a monthly update.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then nice. And I try to synchronize them all. So I'm not sending, you know, monthly updates every couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And just giving them, yeah, like here's what's going on. Here's the developments and that sort of thing. And then also offering them like, you know, if you don't want me to email you or whatever, like, you know, no problem.
Tell me to stop. Yeah. Right.
And often people will just reply and I'll just usually ask for like a thumbs up and often people will give it. So yeah, it's not a huge cohort, but it's the start of something.
Yeah. But you still have a window of opportunity with them too. Cause it's just like, hey, mm-hmm. if there's no movement for a few months, it's just kind of like,
it's going to die off.
Right. Right. And they're going to lose confidence in your ability to deliver the thing.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if maybe the test is, you know, will people opt in to pre-order to purchase, you know, some sort of conditions there, like a subset of the features, or does it have to be all the features? That might be a test to figure out.
What about maybe you design a survey for this stuff? Like, so it's basically like, what sounds the most compelling to you? Like, basically think of your options, have them help you. It is an update,
yeah,
essentially,
right,
to choose. And like, what is the price range? Like, what is the pre-order? Like, what is it? And you ask them just sort of like stack rank the top five most important features to you. Like, here's the ones people have mentioned, right? So it's like, basically you're just like getting further data, but also getting them and also being like, you know, is it, or it's like, I need all of the features, or like, I'd be happy with this. Like, here's three options I'm thinking about building, which is the most appealing to you.
Well, and actually what's interesting is the way I've structured my conversations is I actually kind of know that already. If I dig into the wording of each of them, because I give them the list of five and I say, you know, are the most compelling to you. And often they'll talk a lot about the one that's their hair on fire. I really hate this thing kind of thing. And so I could probably figure that out just by reading.
I would still ask them, right? So like part of this too, is there, if you're ramping their brain towards a decision, right? This is maybe what they thought 2 months ago, right? Like you need, having the information before you hit Nate, go build the thing button. Mm-hmm. It's like, you need the most current information now from the people. It's almost like, it's also a signal of their buying intent, right? So if you're like, hey, I am packaging something, like, can I need your help in answering the survey, how I should package the stuff. And maybe you feel like that other question was redundant, but maybe it's like, package one, here's these features. And maybe maybe you're not asking the stack rank, but you're maybe like, here's three packages that I feel strongly about, like, which one sounds the most compelling? And then it's like, okay, and then from a pricing standpoint, how would you want to, you know, or, and also one of the other options is like, I need all of those.
Right.
Like package one, package two, package three, or I need all of them. I can't commit unless I have all of them. Right. Like, and then what would you be willing to pay or some level of it? Maybe it's not, I'm not asking you to do it, but giving you this, you know, this range, like type of thing. And then sort of like, now you get to have a little bit more triangulation. At that moment in time, because if you're going to start building it, they're not going to remember. But if you're now you've sort of started to frame a package in mind, and then your next step is, could you pre-order, right? Like if you have enough strong things and you're like, I think I can build this in that time period, you know, like.
Yeah. And I think that also will require me to update some of my targeting too, because a lot of my, how the software works, I've been looking more to the entry level people as well. Whereas this would be more focused on the manager types who actually think about dollars a little bit. The entry level people are like, I don't know, pay, charge whatever you want.
Right.
Yeah. Well, lots to think about there. Well, I'll go do some work and report back in a couple weeks.
Okay. I'm trying to think what else is going on. I think, I don't know. I've been, I liked your mentality. So one of the things I noticed, like you mentioned the one in, you know, sending it out to 20 people, but feeling like you need to send it out to around 100. And I really like that because I've been thinking in a similar mindset with things and just, I don't know where I heard it. I think it was on a, you know, of course on a podcast, because I always mention those, but I think it was the first round review podcast, In Depth. There was an episode with a guy that, what company did he create? Persona, if you've heard of Persona.
Okay. I don't think
it's basically like identity verifications and things like that. Like often for fintechs or let's say rideshare, like the types of things where you see all these companies having to build things that go around like, okay, you are who you say you are by either scanning an ID, doing a picture with holding up your driver's license, like that type of stuff. But the biggest takeaway I got out of that episode is, if you listen to it, is he definitely does not sound like a very conventional founder type, and you'll hear it by his story. But one of the big things I liked about him was he was like, I felt like this was a big enough idea. And basically, I, you know, wasn't sure if it was going to be a company, but I felt like I basically wanted to invalidate my thesis that this could be a thing.
Okay.
So instead of taking the, like, you know, we're often in the, I want to make a bet, and then I'm basically going like, oh, bet failed, right? Like, instead of what, kind of like what you are doing is, I have a strong enough conviction about this, and I'm going to keep working at it a little further, and maybe not to nauseam, but let me get enough evidence where I've invalidated my thesis versus just like, you know, people will be like, here's the thing I want to test. I put it out there. Okay, it failed. Okay, next test. It's like, wait. Who said your test was a valid test, right? So it's almost well, let me do a test two, test three. Same thesis, but like, let me keep going to the point of where now I've done so much that now I'm pretty confident I've like learned enough that, and it makes sense to me that it is now invalidated, right? So it's almost like your video thing or your demo thing, you went further because in a past life, you could have just quit on there, right? Or anyone could just quit on that. You're like, oh, I'm not interested, whatever. You're like, no. I've talked to these people. This does not compute. Yeah. This does not line up, right? And I'm going to keep at it at least for 100 people, because maybe at 100 people, you're right, like one out of the 20, like, is still, you know,
5%,
but that could easily be one person not doing or not doing. That's a rounding error, right? But like, okay, 100 people, and now I got, you know, now I have a truer sense of the, you know, I've had, you know, the more variability in those. It's like, okay, my confidence is higher in that data set, right? Like, and you kind of took that mentality. So
yeah,
internally, I've been thinking about a lot of stuff that way. Like, how do I invalidate this idea versus necessarily test and quit and assumed I had a decent test, right?
Right. But I think that's also kind of like not giving up on your initial like thesis, right? It's like you're almost like pivoting within the thesis, right? It's like, okay, well, maybe that word in my thesis was wrong, or this little idea part, like subpart or whatever. Because I think often we do get our thesis wrong, right? Where it's like,
yeah, oh yeah.
Like the first time, like nobody gets it right the first time. Well, maybe a few lucky people do, but yeah, just, you just kind of play around in the space, right? And like, I think you also have to give yourself goals of like what you're willing to do. Like I know for myself with outreach is a battle for me. I have to discipline myself to do it. And so to give myself a goal, okay,
I think it's a battle for a lot of people, but yes.
You know, I have 100%. To do 100 people.
Yes.
Before I can say this is a write-off. And that just like, it gives you something to aim for, and then you don't have to think about it anymore. Just get it done. Because it feels bad. You get rejection and whatever, and you just like, crap.
Right, but you change the goal, right? Instead of saying like, I need to get a person, and every time I talk to one that doesn't talk to me, it feels like a failure. Your goal was instead talk to 100 people, right? Like, so my goal, I moved the goal and I don't care what happens. Hopefully I'll get some, but my goal is now 100 people. So like, I can burn through 100 people and, you know, but at least I meet my goal. I feel happy. I did my 100, right? You changed the mindset of your goal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And I think what's neat too, like you mentioned about like going out and talking to people on this particular project, as opposed to other projects where I've, you know, just kind of huddled in the corner and put out my sign on my website to say, hey, come over here. I think I really like this method a lot better of just like talking to people. Cause it's like, there's real feedback there. It's like, even if somebody doesn't want to talk to you, that's already a signal of some sort if you get enough of that written. And so it feels like there's always signal if you're willing to put yourself out there rather than, you know, waiting for people to come and they just don't come, or spending a bazillion dollars on ads and there's just nothing.
Yeah. And I especially like the fact that you're moving through the business funnel and you're starting in the hardest, not the hardest part, but it is one of the harder parts to start, where it's like getting distribution or finding a way to reach people. And since you're essentially double solving for that, for reach, to the fact of either just getting interviews. And then within those, because you're talking to the people, you have this different level of confidence that you're solving a problem, right? Like before it was like, again, the idea is like, hey, I'm just going to build this thing and I'm looking not to invalidate it. I'm just looking to like, can I catch a fish through this net? And it's like, you put the net up and it's sort of like, and that's the part that like, but how much conviction did you really have? It's like, well, building it took a lot of conviction. You're like, nah, you know what? The building part was the fun part for me. So that I can't really take that as the right. Like, so there's definitely something there. Cause you also look at cause there's all these counter examples of things working when other people said it couldn't work.
Mm.
And that's again, that same idea of invalidating it. Right. So if I went through and like, here's a good example. Looking at doing paid ads for Referral Rock. We've done different variants, but we've never really, really invested. I've always done the low-hanging, like, you know, here's the keyword term that people are looking at, referral software, like stuff that should have been like kind of fish in the barrel, and that stuff kind of works, but going further than that and where is the other opportunity? But it's easy to go ahead and talk to people and just being like, oh, well, you know, I could talk to 5 people, and like if I talk to the wrong 5 people and they all say, I don't think it'll work for you, but they don't know my context. They also don't know, but I only need this if I can make this work. Like it could be in a good unit economics way, like it could really be an impactful change for the business. So I'm kind of taking that mentality of like, I want to invalidate this. I need to talk to more people than just the 5 people I know, right?
Yeah.
Like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because one, they don't know my context. They don't know what they're just going like, well, I don't think it'll work, or it kind of works for me, but it's like, okay, is that really? So it's almost like, let me find enough that I'm building a conviction that it doesn't work. Not necessarily just, you know, so I'm going to assume it's going to work. And then now let me try to find counterexamples to really get me off that pedestal.
Well, and I think what's so hard is there's so many variables why something does or doesn't work, that like for somebody to say it doesn't work for me, it's like, okay, well, that's, you know, one signal, right? But I think you also have this intuition of like, what do your customers care about and how do people find you and that sort of thing, just from all of the conversations you've had over the history of Referral Rock and even the people you've talked to that are currently coming through the funnel, right? And so using all of that to kind of build your case and even to pivot within your thesis, right? Where it's like, yeah, paid ads is a solution, but it's like, okay, like knowing the people that come through can, you know, see why they might react better to this one or that one and kind of build hypothesis that way.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, but yeah, that's, I like that because I've basically been, it's sort of also just on the periphery, there's other ideas I've had, like, oh, we could do this in the business in the future. And this invalidate process has also helped me go like, well, you know what? You have all these ideas in the backlog.
Mm.
But you just stuff them there in the backlog and you're probably never going to get to them. But some of these might be gold and like could make a massive difference. So what can I do? Not necessarily to build it, but just what can I do to invalidate the idea to either exit off the backlog so it doesn't sit there as a hope and a dream for later that I might never do. But like, how do I vet it quickly, you know, invalidate it quickly to either remove it off or on the flip side, validate it. Like, is there a way I can validate it quickly? And also just like, well, if I believe what I say it can do out of this, like, why aren't we doing this yesterday?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's having me kind of the mentality of like, kind of picking up the pace on some of these like ideas and just kind of, this one has huge potential. I should be taking more time because of the impact it can have. These ones have medium potential, but I can invalidate them quickly. Why not rip through them quickly? So then I could focus on the other parts. It's like part of the benefit of it is, you know, cleaning your desk, clearing the space so you have more clarity and thought and focus.
Get tricky with a backlog though. Like you're talking about like features and stuff like that. Like I feel like the features that are like really important to one person or something like that, or maybe two that have actually mentioned it. But then it's like, it's something that just adds complexity to the app, right? And so it's like one of those things of like, you could add all of these tiny little things that make things more and more complicated. And maybe it's good or maybe it's not, right?
I guess I meant less of a dev backlog per se. So gotcha. In terms of just like idea backlog, like marketing backlog, like all these other things.
Yeah.
So not necessarily, but that's probably a whole different conversation. So
Yeah, marketing side for sure. Yeah, very cool. Well, I think we've cut a good episode here. Pretty pretty long one, so we should probably end her off.
All right. Well, thanks, Nate. Have a good week. Happy Monday.
You. Yeah, you too. Have a good one.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you want to chat with us, we're on Twitter. I'm at Nate Bosher, and Josh is at JLogic. If you're a new listener, check out some of our most popular episodes, episode 52, 7 years to 22 MRR and zombie startups, or episode 30, review sites are a necessary evil and hacks to get around them. Thanks again.